Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits. Empty Stocking begins today. The Empty Stocking Fund needs your help to reach this year's goal of $100,000. A generous matching challenge from the Sewell family of companies has been offered to match donations up to $50,000. Funds stay in Ector County and help needy families like that of the Richards, not their real name. This family is struggling financially as both parents are unemployed and they won't be able to provide a happy holiday. This family can be helped through the Empty Stocking Fund, an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army. Empty Stocking Funds go for a good holiday meal and small gifts under the tree. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, or the Odessa American, 700 North Grant Street, Suite 800. Both zips are 79761. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738 for any questions. The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.1 million. MCH releases COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its inpatient COVID numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Tuesday. 31 total COVID patients in-house. Medical surgery non-critical, 16 COVID patients. 10 unvaccinated, 4 unvaccinated, 2 unknown. Critical care, 15 COVID patients, 12 on ventilators. 13 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated, 1 unknown. Of the 12 COVID patients on ventilators, 11 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated. Age ranges of COVID patients, 29 years old to 79 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include one from Alpine, one from Fort Stockton, one from Hobbs, New Mexico, one from Hugo, Oklahoma, one from Ladonia, two from Lovington, New Mexico, one from Seminole. Art Tales. Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled an Art Tales, Virginia Woolf by Keo McClare, at 10 a.m. today. Art Tales is for preschoolers ages 3 to 5 and their grown-ups. Admission is free. For more information, call 550-9696. Pilot Club Tree Lighting is Monday by Michael Bauer. For 37 years now, the Pilot Club of Odessa and the Permian Basin Rehab Center have partnered up for the community Christmas tree lighting at Optimist Park. This December, that tradition will continue as this year's event is scheduled to take place at 6 p.m. December 6th at Optimist Park, located off 37th Street and Grandview Avenue. The Pilot Club of Odessa hosts the community Christmas tree each year as a way to raise money to provide the highest quality therapy to the patients of Permian Basin Rehab Center. For a donation of $10 or more, a light is lit on the tree in honor or in memory of someone special. Each year, for 37 years, we've had the community Christmas tree. Finance director for the Permian Basin Rehab Center, Mary Blaine, said, While we ask the community if they want to honor someone, they can light a candle bulb for $10. The Pilot Club has gathered more than $417,000 toward the rehab center. We want to simply continue to spread the message of what the Permian Basin Rehab Center is doing by improving the quality of life for the patients in this area, especially in this COVID era. We're seeing more patients need more services, and some of them can't afford some of it, and there are a lot of financial hardships. So, the Pilot Club contributes to that. The Rehab Center does the rest. We just help. Each year, one patient from the Rehab Center is chosen to light the tree, which glows each evening through early January. This year's patient who will light the tree will be Sophie Madrid. "It's beautiful for the kid," Blaine said. "She's in a wheelchair. She was in a car accident with her mom. She has so much hope and joy that we all need a little bit of that. She and her mom will be there. Let's hope that we have a good group." Blaine says that $10 can go a long way. The Rehab Center is one of the finest patient centers, and we're a nonprofit organization, Blaine said. "We just asked for those $10, and it's amazing how much people pour support toward that, especially for patients, for speech therapy, and services that are a big benefit." The Permian Basin Rehab Center services 35 counties. We're talking about New Mexico and Texas. All the proceeds go to the Rehab Center. Permian Basin Rehab Center Executive Director Kim Ortega said that the community Christmas tree lighting is an event that they always look forward to each year. "It's a wonderful time for us and a great time to kick off the Christmas season," Ortega said. "We get to introduce our patient representative for 2022. They get to light the Christmas tree. It's very special, and it's a demonstration of the community support that the Rehab Center has to continue to provide therapy services to children and adults with disabilities, and without that community support, we wouldn't be able to help the patients that we help every day. We're grateful for the Pilot Club for all they do in continuing to support us. They've been doing it for years, and it's a special relationship. We're grateful for their support." Permian Basin Area Foundation announces nearly $2 million in grants by OA News at OAOA.com. Permian Basin Area Foundation has awarded $1,917,000 to nonprofit organizations serving West Texans during its fall grant cycle. The foundation resumed its regular competitive spring and fall grant cycles this year after delaying last year's spring cycle and focused on emergency funding due to the immediate needs presented by the pandemic, a news release detailed. Out of an abundance of caution, there was no press conference to announce the grants. "I continue to be so proud of our nonprofit organizations who continue to step up and serve our community. Their leadership and impact is immeasurable," stated Grants Administrator Megan Harris. Grants were made to 42 organizations. Semi-annually, the foundation announces competitive grant awards following review of applications submitted in the spring and fall. Spring grant cycle pre-applications are due on April 1, 2022. Pioneer Donates Land to Habitat for Humanity by OA News at OAOA.com. Midland. Pioneer Natural Resources, the largest oil producer in Texas, is donating more than 35 acres of land to Midland Habitat for Humanity, valued at nearly $2 million. Company officials announced the record donation on Giving Tuesday during a ceremony at the Midland property site, where they handed over the land deed to the local nonprofit. The gift marks the largest land donation Midland Habitat for Humanity has ever received. At Pioneer, we have a long-standing belief in the importance of supporting the communities where our employees live and work, and our partnership with Midland Habitat for Humanity exemplifies that commitment. Pioneer Natural Resources President and Chief Operating Officer Rich Dealey said in a news release. So on this Giving Tuesday 2021, we're excited to make this donation of land to Midland Habitat for Humanity so it, along with Pioneer and its many other community supporters, can continue to make a lasting impact in the Midland community. Pioneer has established a long-time relationship with Midland Habitat for Humanity, dating back to 2012. In recent years, they have built 6 houses, and Pioneer and its employees have given $437,000 to the agency and donated thousands of hours in labor to help make the dream of homeowners attainable for those most in need, the release said. With all of Pioneer's energy exploration operations based in the Permian Basin, the company's donation of the acreage has a special renaissance, the release said. Habitat is a nonprofit developer and builder in one of the most expensive markets to buy and develop land. So, without strategic partnerships and donations, we would not be able to do what we do, said Joey Hopkins, Executive Director of Midland Habitat for Humanity, which has built 175 affordable homes for more than 700 people in the Midland-Odessa area since the chapter was established in 1991. Midland Habitat plans to work with engineers to develop a site plan for the tract of land, but Hopkins said its future potential is already within view. Pioneer's donation will be the single largest land donation we have ever received and will allow us to build the largest subdivision we have ever built, Hopkins said. And that subdivision has the potential to be the largest affordable housing development in Midland. Emily Stanton Smith, Vice President of Habitat for Humanity's Board of Directors and Associate General Counsel at Pioneer Natural Resources, called the donation a transformative event for the south part of Midland that figures to increase the tax base by millions of dollars, the release said. The ripples of this generosity will spread throughout the community and time, Stanton Smith said. One of the biggest issues looming over Habitat Midland was the lack of buildable lots. The cost of real estate skyrocketed along with the price of oil, and Habitat's inventory of land was rapidly dwindling. Thanks to Pioneer's donation, Habitat's land woes will be solved for the coming decades. Obituaries. Deborah Ann Bohannon, Midland. Deborah Ann Bohannon was born in Houston, Texas on October 2, 1951, to Robert and Ina Stout. Deborah Ann Bohannon is survived by her two beloved sons, Eric Dean Bohannon and spouse Tiffany of Midland, Texas, and Trey Ross Bohannon, spouse Allison of the Woodlands of Texas. Four amazing grandbabies, one precious great-granddaughter. Deborah is also survived by twin sister Jan Nichols, spouse Max of Big Spring, Texas, and a brother Jerry Stout, spouse Petty of Odessa, Texas, as well as many nephews, nieces, and cousins. Deborah Ann Bohannon is preceded in death by her soulmate, Leroy Dean Bohannon, two beautiful twin boys, Keith and Kyle, as well as her parents, Robert and Ina Stout. Memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, December 3rd, at Naley Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by the direction of Naley Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Death Notices. Rick Dwayne Beardsley, Midland. Rick Dwayne Beardsley, 80, of Midland, died Saturday, November 27th, in Midland. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. December 4th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens of Odessa. Betty Lou Pullman, Blackwood, Odessa. Betty Lou Pullman, Blackwood, 79, of Odessa, died Friday, November 26th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. December 3rd at Mission Dorado Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Robert G. Bob Lester, Midland. Robert G. Bob Lester, 79, of Midland, died Sunday, November 28th, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 3 p.m. December 2nd at Fairmont Park Church of Christ. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Cemetery. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens. Miguel Rodriguez, Jr., Odessa. Miguel Rodriguez, Jr., 80, of Odessa, Texas, died Wednesday, November 24th, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 7 p.m. December 1st at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel.
Hello, this is Cindy, reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, November 28th. Other Voices. Letter to the Editor. The story was unfair to community. Padmaja Patel, Chair of Hindu Association of West Texas Board of Directors, writes, "As a minority community in the United States, amounting to less than 1% of the population of this nation, Sabah Sattar's article in the main news on November 9, 2021, smacks of Hindu phobia, which the Hindu American Foundation has defined as a set of antagonistic, destructive, and derogatory attitudes and behaviors towards Hinduism and Hindus. This article put forth imagined connections and unfounded assumptions to generate a false and dangerous narrative about Hindus, the third largest religious and spiritual community in the world, and about India, the world's largest democracy, an important American ally, and a nation is known for millennia for its pluralism and generous refugee policy for religious minorities, who are facing genocide in neighboring Muslim and communist countries. Here are two errors, representative of the sort of glossing over of important detail Sattar makes, that make the threats about the future of India's democracy and secularism fall flat. In the first line, there is the menacing assertion that India's Muslims are increasingly targeted. While inter-community violence in India does occur, in Pew Research Center's comprehensive surveys of religious life in India, some 80% of Indians feel free to practice their religion, with near identical responses from Hindus and Muslims. Furthermore, 84% of Indians believe that respecting other religions is very important. To the surprise of many, in a nation with over 200 million Muslims, 19% of Indian Muslim voters voted for the ruling coalition, which Sattar attempts to describe as Hindu nationalist. Pew's stats show a far greater religious tolerance than what headlines lead you to believe. The second major error concerns the dismantling Global Hindutva Conference. Sattar states 53 American universities sponsored this conference. This is simply false. The reality is, as a result of unprecedented pushback from the Hindu American community, highlighting the grossly Hindu-phobic nature of some of the conference panelists, many of the universities touted by the organizers clarified that they did not, in fact, sponsor the conference at all. Harvard, among many others, demanded that their university logo be removed from conference promotional materials. At the same time, though, conference organizers tried to claim that they were only discussing dismantling Hindutva rather than targeting Hinduism as a religion. A disturbing number of presenters made anti-Hindu statements. One moderator even proposed that the conference ought to be discussing dismantling Hinduism as a whole. Many panelists made bigoted statements about Hinduism. Articles like this, rather than promoting understanding and truth, promote political and intercommunity tensions. West Texans deserve to have a more accurate and balanced perspective.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Urge to go shortly after urinating. Dear Dr. Roach, I must urinate very badly. It often seems that I get the urge to go again just a short while after voiding. It's very annoying. Why is this happening? Answer. The bladder wall is mostly made of muscle fibers that contract to initiate urination. If these muscles get stretched more than they should, to the point where the bladder sends pain signals to the brain, they cannot contract properly for a while. So you cannot empty the bladder completely and will get the sensation to void again in a shorter period of time than you expect. It's not good to wait so long to void. Over time, it may cause damage to the kidneys. If you have had a whole lot of fluid and the kidney is making a large volume of urine, naturally you are going to need to void more frequently, even if you didn't overstretch the bladder.
This is the Dear Abby column. Husband wants wife's history to repeat itself. Dear Abby, I'm a 44-year-old woman who has been married for 3 years. We all have a past. Unfortunately, I made mistakes in mine that I foolishly mentioned to my husband when he asked. He is someone who doesn't let go of things easily. I had a threesome in my early 20s, which I didn't think was a big deal because I was young and experimenting with my sexuality. He's now insisting on my having one with him. He thinks I cheated on him because when we met 9 years ago, I was still friends with the people involved. I love him, but I feel like he wants to have his cake and eat it too. What should I do? Signed, Cornered in Louisiana. Dear Cornered, if you're against the idea, you should refuse. And if he persists with his wacky idea, the only threesome you should agree to would involve the two of you and a licensed marriage and family therapist. Dear Abby, I'm an inmate at the women's prison. My fiancé and I have been together for 4 years and have 4 little ones under the age of 4. They are with him. I'm getting mad at him for not writing often or sending photos. I realize he's busy taking care of the babies, but am I being selfish to think he should make more time for me? Signed, inmate mom in Nevada. Dear Mom, I'm glad you asked. I'm also glad you recognize the fact that your fiancé has his hands full working to support his family while taking care of the little ones. Because you have more time on your hands than he does, spend some of it writing to him and the children. Tell them how much you love and miss them. Describe your daily activities and your hopes for them. If you do, it may make your bond with them stronger and bring them closer to you until you are released. Dear Abby, my husband and I were married 10 years and in our 40s when he passed away 3 years ago. His wishes were that his ashes be split, half to me and half to be buried with his mom in another state. I want to go there by myself and take care of it without notifying his family, so I won't have to go through another funeral. I haven't spoken to his family members in that state since the funeral. I did speak with his sister once during the past year. We live in the same city, when I dropped off some of her family's things that my husband had. Can I just go and take care of it? Must I inform the family? I would much prefer just going to the cemetery and then coming right back home. Signed, Young Widow in New York. Dear Young Widow, contact the owners of the cemetery and ask this question. If your husband's family owns a plot in which their mother is buried, you may need their permission to open her grave and add to your husband's ashes. If you do not wish to have another funeral, it is, of course, your prerogative, but I doubt you can slip this past them. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.